We have heard it said, and we have read it in our Bibles, that we are commanded to walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, very famous passage that we read in 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight. And the same writer, in the same book, actually, you know, you go down in fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul is writing. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but in what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I mean, we read that and we kind of think that we understand what he's talking about. You know, being honest, like, fixing our eyes on what is unseen. I mean, honestly, how do we do that? You know, when for us it's natural, the natural tendency is to focus into what we see, what we experience, what we can experience with our senses. And we're talking about to fix our eyes on what is unseen. Something, I mean, logically, for many of us, like, that doesn't make sense, right? Because we got to see it, we hear, we see, you know, and so we, most of us, we if we are honest, you know, we focus more into what we experience, what we hear, what we see, because that's what's comfortable, that's what makes sense to us. I mean, how can we possibly focus on something that you don't even see? I mean, think about how you thought. I mean, listen to the word. We fix our eyes. Fixing means you focus our eyes not on what you see, not on what you experience, but in what is unseen. Because what you experience, what you see, is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Sounds good, but the question would be, how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Right? So this is how most of us live our lives, by sight. You know, instead of, we say walk by faith, not by sight, but the majority of us live by sight rather than faith. What do I mean by that? We live more by what we hear, perhaps on the news, or what we see, what we experience. I mean, this is the common reality in us. Just you see it, you experience it, then you build your life around what you see. I mean, because that's our reality, what we see. But there's another reality that apparently we're not aware of, the unseen world. Like I said, this is what we know. You know, somebody, Hume, a philosopher, one time says that you know something because you get to see and experience. Like, knowledge comes from experiencing things. That's how he developed his philosophical ideal. And, you know, I mean, it makes sense. You see, you experience, and then now you build your life around that. And the Bible is telling us that we are to walk not by what we see, but what is unseen out there. See, how there are so many people that are blind to the unseen, to the spiritual. There's a spiritual realm out there. And I just want to spur your mind. I just want to open your mind to that this morning, because you don't see it, you and I don't see it, but that thing is around us. And I'm going to show you how, even through the Bible. And I'm going to show you how, you know, you tap into that realm consciously or unconsciously. You see, many people in our society, they can relate to what Dr. Stephen Strange said. Dr. Stephen Strange, in the movie Dr. Strange, he says, there is no such thing as spirit. We are made of matter. And that, I mean, because matter is all you see. There's no such thing as spirit. There's a lot of people like that. The spirit is unseen, isn't it? So, you hear Paul's words, we focus our eyes not on what we see, but in what is unseen, because what we see is temporary. It's not going to last forever, but the unseen world is eternal. Now, why should you and I focus and open our eyes to the unseen? I don't know if you realize that. Every time you pray, you're praying to the unseen. Every time you pray, you try to tap into the spiritual realm, don't you? Whether you pray to God or not, when they're praying, I mean, even people that pray to a statue, they think that something beyond their comprehension is out there, and they're praying to that. You're not praying to something you see. You pray like to something to the unseen. So every time you and I pray, we're tapping, we're gaining, we try to get access into the spirit realm. And that's what Jesus reminded us when he says, when you pray, enter into the room, and your Father who is unseen will reward you for what you have. So you pray to the unseen for something that you're dealing with in the physical realm. Are you understanding what I'm saying right now? So every time you pray, you tap it into the spirit. Every time you worship, it's not just about what's going on here with me. No, you want something beyond. So you tap in, gaining access into the spirit realm. Every time we pray, every time we worship, Father, Jesus said the Father is unseen. The Bible said God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Let me give you another example. If you're alive today, you know why you're alive today? Because you have a spirit. The Bible says the body cannot live without the spirit. In fact, when we die, the body's gonna die, but the spirit never dies because the unseen is eternal. The spirit will go on, either to live with God or to be in eternal punishment. The spirit realm. You see, you and I know more about that than what we care to admit. The spirit realm out there. You access it every time you pray or worship. That's what Matthew 6:6 and Matthew 6:18 tells us about. And Jesus is the one talking about when you pray, when you fast, and you're doing those things to the Father who's unseen or in secret, and He sees what's going on here. Now we, in our physical eyes, we don't see it. But the Bible also talks about in Hebrews 12 that there might be angels gathering around here worshiping when you are. And you hear stories of angels. And you know, that's what, you know, when I was thinking about the sermon and the story of Elisha, I said, you know, wow, that's so true. We, you know, how many of us, we are so used to just walking by what we see, what we experience, unaware of the spirit realm, unaware of God, His presence among us. See, the king of Syria, your translation might say Aram, was waging war against Israel. And I think I have a map. Thank you, Josiah, right there. So you have an idea where we at. So that story in 2 Kings chapter 6, you have the king of Aram. Aram is Syria today, you know. And so Dothan, that's where the prophet Elisha was. Elisha was the successor of Elijah. Remember when Elijah left, Elisha one time told Elijah, give me a double portion of your spirit. You know, and Elijah was able to do a lot of miracles. You know, and so Elisha was staying in Dothan, which belonged to Israel. Now, during that time, this is when the kingdom of Israel divided into two. Northern kingdom, capital Samaria, for Israel. And then the southern kingdom, the capital was Jerusalem for Judah. So this takes place. Elisha was a prophet to the northern kingdom in Samaria. So the king of Syria is at war with Israel. And it's interesting when you read the story, you know, he's planning, you know, let's set up an ambush. Let's set up a trap for the Israelites. So he's planning that with his council, with his cabinet. And then everything he planned did not come to pass. And he's like, what's going on? Do I have a mole? Do I have a traitor in our midst? And then finally, one of the people said, no, my lord, it's not that. It's that Israel have a prophet, and whatever you plan on doing, even in your bedroom, whatever you think, even in your bedroom, there is already revealed to them. Spirit realm. Man, I don't know about you, but have you ever gone to places that, you know, people talk to you and like, you know already they're lying to you? Without, you know what I mean? Like God has something in your spirit. Like, there's something here that doesn't feel right. You know, so, again, the scenario, the king of Syria is planning how to attack the Israelites. And every plan that he came up with got thwarted because God revealed that to Elisha back in Dothan. So, the king of Syria says, man, like, what's going on? Who of you, he said, is a traitor? And finally, people say, no, my lord, that's not the case. But this is Elisha in Israel. Whatever you think about, whatever you're planning on doing, he already knows it. You see how God revealed that to the prophet. So, and then the king said, but where's the prophet? Let's go kill him. So he sent a whole bunch of soldiers to go get Elisha. Because, you know, it's like, well, all the plans are being, are failing because of Elisha. So if we get rid of Elisha, we'll be okay. So he sent soldiers because they found out, oh, he's in Dothan. So huge army of soldiers to go capture the prophet Elisha. So when they get there, the next day, Elisha had an attendant, a servant. He gets up and look out the window. The whole army of the Syrian army surrounded the city. And the servant of Elisha panics, like, oh my Lord, what are we going to do? The enemy has surrounded us. The enemy is around us. They came to get us. And that's when Elisha told him, don't be afraid. I mean, listen to the words of the prophet Elijah. You got your Bibles. Hopefully you do right there in that text that was read earlier. 2 Kings 6. Verse 15, I want to pick it up, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God, now Elisha is called the man of God in the text. When the servant of the man of God went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots has surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what are we going to do? What shall we do? The servant asked. Elisha said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. How is that possible? Because all the man is seeing, all the servant is seeing is the Syrian army surrounded the city. And the prophet now tells me that we have more people on our side. Where are they? The spirit realm. So don't be afraid, the man of God, don't be afraid. We have more in our favor than those you see. See, he's seeing, he's walking. Elisha's servant is walking by sight. He saw danger. He saw what was lurking around them. Their lives were in danger. That's all he saw. Elisha said, don't panic, don't be afraid. We have more than they. And then the prophet prayed. So Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw hills full of horses with chariots of fire all around Elisha. The prophet was right. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. We got more on our side than those that you see. See, the servant of Elisha, like I said, he was walking more by sight rather than faith. And that's why he was afraid. I mean, think about it. There's a connection when you are fearful about whatever it is that's going on in your world, whatever it is that's coming, lurking around your life. When you are fearful, you're walking by what you see, by what you know. That's walking by sight rather than faith. Because faith and fear, they're the opposite. When you're fearful, there's no faith. When you're faith, there's no fear. They belong to the same side of the coin. Head or tail is either or. My friend, that's what the Bible says. When you're afraid, faith is kicked out of the window. When your faith is in gear, you're not afraid. You notice Elisha, surrounded by the enemy, told this young man, don't be afraid. We got more than they do. And why? Because the servant just looking into the size, he sees, oh my Lord, what are we going to do? Some of us, we're doomed. We're only two people here. This is an army of horses and chariots. They came, and they're the enemy. What are we going to do? And for the prophet to say, don't be afraid. We got more on our side than they. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And that just when I read that story, I realized, Lord, open my eyes, open your eyes, because sometimes we're just caught up in what's going on, the chaos around us, and we are blind to what's going on spiritually. Do you know that everything in your life, everything that happens, is touched or influenced by the spirit realm? Everything that happens in your life, is touched or influenced by the spirit realm. Everything. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see. So God opened the servant's eyes and he was able to see hills surrounded with horses and chariots of fire all around them to protect him. Elisha was right. His allies were more than the enemies. God was protecting them. And the servant did not even know. You see, the Bible describes angels in Hebrews 1:14 as ministering spirit, sent to help those who will inherit salvation. And the Bible also said, do not fail to entertain people, because people have entertained angels without knowing it. Angels sometimes, even though they're spirit, God allows them to come into the realm as a human being. And you might be talking to an angel one day and did not even know it. And that God gave a glimpse of the spirit realm that day to that young man, because he was panicking. And so Lord opened his eyes so that he can see that we don't have to be afraid, because God is already here. And you know, how many times we Christians, we talk about his presence, and you know, we say, let us become more aware of your presence. God is omnipresent, which means he can be everywhere, every time. You know, so in other words, everywhere you go, he's there. But sometimes our eyes are blind to his presence. Our eyes are blind that he is right there, to the spirit, that he promises. I mean, he already said, I'm with you, I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to go with you. And no wonder the prophet has such a great confidence in the midst of danger. Their lives were in jeopardy. Their lives were in danger. He said, don't be afraid, because we have more in our favor than the enemy. So God showed Elisha's servant the spiritual realm, which made Elisha unafraid regarding of the situation. You see, when you and I are open, when you and I, our eyes are open to the spirit realm, to God's presence in our midst, fear disappears. But when God's presence, you don't feel, anything will intimidate you in this world. Anything will make you afraid, because you're not aware of his presence in our midst. Some of you have forgotten that he is right there with you. You have forgotten that he said, you are my people. And look, I mean, an army of chariots, God sent his fighting angels to protect Elisha. And Elisha did not even have to fight. When you read the story, you know, Elisha prayed again for God to strike the army with blindness. It's interesting. This idea, he prays to open the eyes, the spiritual eyes of his servant. And now he's praying to blind the enemies. So God answered the prophet, and so let me just read that part for you. Verse 18, as the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man that you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. Elisha now led those people to the king of Israel. So you see how God gave Elisha his enemies right into his hands right there. When we talk about I don't know if you've been paying attention. I've been praying this idea that God fights our battle. You know, and look at this. And at one time, yes, you had to step up like David, but at this time, Elisha did not even have to do anything. Just pray. When you pray, you're tapping into the spiritual realm. You're asking the unseen to help you with what you see. Elisha said, strike these people with blindness. And the Lord he fought the battle just praying to God. And God answered his prayer. So the enemy is blinded now physically. And then Elisha led him to the heart of the city in Samaria, to the king. So he led the enemy to the king of Israel, who can just kill them. And in fact, the Bible said that he wanted to kill him. He said, my father, should I kill them? Should I kill them, my father? The king of Israel said, Elisha said, no, don't kill them. Would you kill those that you just captured with your sword and bow? Give him something to eat. The man of God now is going to feed the enemies. And you know, when I was reading that, it reminded me what David says. David saying, yet, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then he also said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Only God can do something like that. So Elijah fed the enemy, You know, God just gave him into his hands. He did that to David one time too. The one who was looking for David to kill him, David was in a cave, and God placed him right there. And David, if he wanted to kill him, he could have done it right there, but he did not do it. Elisha did not kill the enemy. He fed them and sent them home. When he says, verse 21, when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword and bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Twice in the story, Elisha prayed. First, he prayed for God to open the spiritual eyes of his servant, because he was just so caught up in them what he saw. He was just walking by sight. And finally, he said, "Lord, open his eyes. He's not aware that you are here. He's not aware that you have angels protecting us. Don't be afraid. We have more on our side than the ones that you see." He prayed. Then later on, he prayed so that God strike out the enemies with blindness, and the Lord responded. Later on, he prayed, "Lord, open their eyes," the enemy's eyes, when he led him to Samaria in front of the king. They were no longer blinded. And so God opened their eyes, and they saw that they were in the presence of the king that could have killed them. But Elisha said, "Don't kill them." He fed them and sent them home. Like I said, three times you hear about something that had to do with the eyes right here. Open the eyes of the servant. Open their eyes so that they can see. Maybe that's a prayer that you and I need to ask the Lord this day. For us to pray for God to open our eyes to the unseen. To always be aware of His presence in our midst. I mean, my friends, are you still living just by what you see? Are you still just walking and living just by sight, by what you hear on the news, and you cannot even do anything because you are afraid even to go outside? Because that's walking by sight, by the way. And you know, everything about you is just intimidated. Something intimidates you because of what you see, what you hear. My friends, I hate to say it, but that's walking by sight when we're still afraid, intimidated. That's not walking by faith. Are you still living by what you see and not by what is unseen? Elisha was not afraid of the danger he faced that day because he could see into the spiritual. And my friends, I guarantee you, once you can see, once you can be aware of the spiritual, you will never be afraid of anything in this life. Because we have more in our favor than the ones that you see in the world. I mean, church, isn't that what we hear? You remember that text? It said, "Great is he that's in you than the one that is in the world." But I guess we don't really mean what we read, right? So greater is he that's in you. The Spirit of God now lives in us, by the way. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? He's taking residence in you, and he's greater than anything that you can possibly face in this life. Greater is he. But you and I are still kind of blind to that reality, and we need to pray just like Elisha prayed. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see, so that we can trust you wholeheartedly, that nothing that can come against us is going to be big enough for our God. Elisha was not afraid of the danger when he knew that his life was in the enemy surrounding you, and you are not a fighting individual. And he said, "Don't be afraid." I mean, it doesn't make sense. But he does, because he realized we got more in our favor. And Lord, open his eyes so that he can see angels surrounding him, protecting them. The songwriter said, "The angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him to protect them." There are angels when you worship around you. And by the way, the kids that you have, Jesus said it, they have angels protecting them. You don't even have to, you know, when people want to baptize the kids, maybe like, you don't even need to do that, because there are angels in the spirit realm protecting your kids. And Jesus even said it, like, woe to those that, if one of those little ones fall, Just said it one time. It'd be better for them to tie up a millstone and throw themselves into the sea if they want to come against one of those little ones. He's not playing. I mean, when God said, like, I'm going to go with you, our God is greater. We sing about that. He's greater and more powerful than anything that you and I, more that we can possibly face. He's greater than any disease you can be afraid of. He's greater than any enemies that you might have, people that want to plot things against you. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to say that I had experience like Elisha. But you see, when the king of Israel was planning and plotting against Elisha, God revealed something to me one time. They plan on some people. And, you know, way before I was told what was happening, like, I was talking to them, and, like, I said, I guess that this is what you try to do, right? And they kind of looked at each other. I'm like, how did I guess that? God revealed it to you. You know, sometimes, like, oh, that's the plot. There's a plot going on, and now I see the reality. You remember, the king was planning that in his bedroom. The prophet already knew it. When people plan things against God's people, they have no idea what they're doing. Church people, when they want to destroy the churches, like, I mean, you don't realize you're coming against God. The great I am, and you want to fight that battle? I don't know about you, but they're, you know, when people in churches want to create division, you're coming against God. That's why in my life, I've been learning so much about these things. Like, I don't need to be afraid of anything. You know, so the only fear that I have sometimes, like, for my family, because, you know, like, I'm ready for God to take me any moment. But then they might be missing me too much. Seriously, that's the only thing. But like that prayer, Lord, your kingdom come, like, I'm ready any moment now for that kingdom to you know, and I'd be better off with the Lord. And my wife, I mean, they can tell you, like, the fear in my, and you know what, I was very afraid when I was growing up. I remember I was telling Jessica, there was a song that used to scare the bejeebies out of me. That song, it was called "The King Is Coming." And when they sang that song at church, I was like, I don't think I'm ready to see that king. Said, "The king is come, and the king is coming for you." And I was like, you know, and you know, every time we got sick, like, oh, am I going to die? You cut your arm. Dad, am I going to die? Like, we were so afraid, man. I mean, my parents can tell you a story. And later on, the more I got to know Jesus, all that fear was like, you know, I was like, yeah, what is life? What I miss. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to live my life just based on what I hear in the news or based on what I see over there. I know this is, all these things that you hear right now is empowered or it is influenced by the spirit realm. But the spirit realm has one that's the top, that's the leader, and nothing compares to him. And he is our God. He is your God. And say, he said, don't be afraid. 365 times, by the way. Don't be afraid because I got you. And we got more on our side than those who are around us. Enemies might come. Storms will rage. And he said, hey, don't be afraid. I got you right here. And so I want to look. I want to see with my eyes of faith Jesus. I want to see him because he's calling me. And where he's calling me, I want to go. Regardless of the circumstances. Because that's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. The ones you worship is calling you. And he is more powerful than anything that you can possibly face or experience in this life. Elisha was not afraid of the danger he faced because he could see well. You see, spiritual blinded people walk by sight rather than faith. See, Elisha wasn't blind to the spirit realm. He was always aware of God's presence in him. Because you look back into his life, God was always answering Elijah, and he had a relationship with the Lord. That's why he told the man, don't be afraid. We got more. Lord, open his eyes. He doesn't see. And God allowed him to see into the spirit realm. Isaiah one time had a vision too, and man, he panicked when he saw cherubims and seraphim in the presence of God. Spiritual-minded people live by sight, but not by faith. When you are aware of God's presence in your life, you will have the confidence that you need. And nothing will intimidate you in this life. Because those who are with us, those who are with you, are more and more powerful than what you see in this life. This is what kept Elisha from This is what kept him calm in the midst of danger. Like I said, David also could say, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Wow. Even death, the psalmist, Psalm 23, and yet I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Fear overwhelms you or paralyzes you because you are blind to the spirit realm. You are blind to what God can do in your life. You are not aware of His presence in your midst. And we send to the Lord, make us, let us become more aware of your presence. We forget how great our God is when we let anything intimidate you, intimidate us. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can come against us? If God is for you, who can come against? We're going through, Friday night, we're learning from the book of Acts. Saul of Tarsus was persecuting Christians, arresting Christians one time. And on the way to arrest Christians to into a city called Damascus, he got an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus knocked him down to the ground and blinded him for 3 days. Saul had no idea. I mean, he's like, who are you, Lord? And then Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. You catch that? Saul knew he was persecuting Christians. To persecute people of God, he's persecuting God himself. And Saul learned the hard way that day. Knocked down to the ground, blinded for 3 days because you're messing around with the wrong crowd. You're messing around with God's people. And they're more on our favor than those who are in the world. If God is for us, church, nothing is going to stop us. If God is for us, who can come against us? And do you realize that Jesus even talked about that the church will transcend time? God's people. Because Jesus said, not even the gates of Hades will prevail against His church. And He meant that. You know, like all these things, you think that the government's going to close the church? No, I mean, some churches, yeah, they need to disappear because they're not preaching the gospel. Yeah, you should be closed. But the ones preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus, they will not disappear. And nothing will stop the advancement of God's kingdom because His kingdom will come and His will be done. Because that's what He said. And so I'm hanging on to that promise. You know what I mean? I see Christian panicking on this. Oh, it's going to happen. Watch. Watch what's going to happen. God is still on His throne. And He knows when He can say, that's enough now. He can do that any moment He wants it. So don't just be focused about who's going to win the election, because your king is still on His throne. And He's going to use whoever's at the White House to accomplish His will and purposes. All we got to do is hang on to Him and nothing else, because there are more on our side, on our favor, than those around the world. But we need to ask God to open our eyes, because maybe you and I are still walking by what we see, by what we hear in the news. And we're panicking, and we forget that the Lord, He's our King, and He's in charge. If He is for us, who can come against us? Lord, open our eyes to see You, to see that You're always with us. Open our eyes so that we stop living by what we hear or see, and we start living by our faith in Him, that nothing will move you from that secure position that you have. I want to pray for us, because maybe you can relate to Elisha's servant. Maybe you need your eyes to be open to what God can do in your life, to what He's already been doing. Because sometimes when you're spiritual blind, you forget what God is already doing and how He's orchestrating all things. You forget that He's already working, like the song saying, even though I don't see You, I know You're working. Even though I don't feel You, You're working, He is working. He never stops. So I want to pray for God to open our eyes so that we stop being fearful. So that we, like the Bible says, you and I were not given a spirit of timidity, but of power in the name of God. Amen? So would you pray with me this moment?